and you're not on.
I got a nice picture in from Andrew today.
You're ready?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tom Parrish. I'm with Scarlet Leadership Institute, and welcome to our monthly Lunch and Learn conference call. A couple of details. If you have a question during our presentation, hit *7 and we'll bring you up. If you're online, you can enter your question into the box and hit send. We only have two slides today. One is an introduction for our guest, Becky Pitts, who we will introduce in just a moment. And then the other slide is about our conference call next month, which will be February 20th. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Mary Fink and Joe Scarlett.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our call this month. Next month, as Tom just said, it's February 20th. That's a Thursday, and we don't have a topic or a guest lined up right now. We got two prospects in the wings, and we'll let you know as we get closer. Today's topic is tips for handling special events, and we have our friend Becky Pitts with us. Becky's been associated with our organization since we first got started 7 years ago, and she was formerly the Chief Protocol Officer for Bank of America, and she's done every single class we've had on the executive class at the retreat, and she talks about so many things that have to do with social skills, and I tell you, every time I listen to Becky, I learn a little bit more about how to be good in the social environment. So Becky's been with us right along. She's a teacher, a friend, and she's part of our executive program. And this topic today is one that not everybody's interested in, but it can be a game changer for you in either direction if you get it right or don't get it right. So it's an important topic, and it doesn't have you're not dealing with it regularly, but when you are, you need to get it right. Well, with that, let's turn it over to our hostess, Mary Fink. Mary?
Thanks, Joe. I know we said that we're going to talk about tips and tools for planning a great event, but I wanted to also say that for those of you who are listening, for those people who are looking for a new job, perhaps seeking a job at a higher level, often a social event, a dinner with the prospective new employee, or if you're that employee with the prospective new boss, is the final test, if you will. And so, Joe, I want you to share with us your story about how some of those have gone, and particularly one story, because it can make or break somebody, and if you'll listen.
This goes back quite a ways, but when I was running Tractor Supply, before we would make a promotion of a very senior person or hire a very senior person, we would take the person and the spouse out to dinner, and my wife Dorothy would go with us, and this is what became humorously known as the Dorothy test, and we did that on a regular basis, and it was just a kind of get acquainted thing and get to know the prospective employee's spouse and make them feel comfortable and make us all feel comfortable.
Make sure they don't eat with their mouth full.
Yes.
Or talk with their mouth full.
Well, we never quite had anything with a really bad table. Anything close to it, but the one situation that Mary's referring to was a fellow that we were considering hiring at a very senior level, and we went out to this nice dinner, and things went pretty well, I thought, but on the way home, after this fellow and his wife had left, Dorothy gives me a big elbow into my side, and she said, "Joe, something's not right here. I don't feel good about it." And I said, "Well, tell me specifically, where do you feel bad? What doesn't sit right to you?" Well, she couldn't be specific. She just, her instincts knew that things didn't feel right. And so I did the really smart thing and didn't listen to her and hired the fella anyway. And her instincts were exactly correct. And I should have listened to her in the first place. And as a result, we brought the buying fella on board, and he stayed on board way too long before we did anything about it. But it was one of those social situations where I should have learned something from the process.
And I think the point that I like to make from that is that it is often not in the interview process that you learn things about people, that things come out in a social environment that may not come out in a formal business setting. And so it's important on both sides that we know how to behave and what to do in those occasions. And Becky, the reason that we have you here today is to help us figure out how to plan the very best event, and so that it can go as successfully as possible for us, and provide a setting that is going to put the other person at ease. Joe, you have a
question? Yeah, I just want to add something else on what I was saying before. In each one of these situations where we've taken a potential employee or promotion out to dinner, I've always learned something. And it's interesting how in some cases you, after one of those dinners, your opinion of somebody ratchets up one notch or two notch or five notches, occasionally down, but generally speaking, you become more comfortable in the situation rather than less comfortable.
So Becky, what is the minimal planning that I should do for a major event?
Well, the first thing, it depends on what the event is, Mary, but also what kind of event do you want to have? You know, is it going to be a formal dinner, a cocktail, or a casual event? So you need to decide on that, and also who are you going to invite and how many people are you going to invite? I have been to several, Joe, speaking of new hires and interviewing, I've been to a couple of team cocktail parties where they would invite that person in and spouse or partner, and we would all just kind of have our input afterwards. So it really makes a difference, that first impression, and that, you know, we women have that fifth, sixth sense, and your wife certainly has a good one, so you need to listen to her go. go ahead, Mary.
I was just going to say, is there a magic number beyond which I always entertain in a restaurant or always entertain in another venue? Or how do I decide what's the best venue?
Well, here again, it depends the purpose of the event as to what you would do. For instance, if it were interviewing someone, I would have no more than 12 people there, or what is the number of your team to be there. But if it's client events, you know, that can make a difference, and that makes a difference with the whether you would be doing it in your home at another event or at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. So the very first question to ask is, what's the purpose of the event? And who do I need to be involved?
Right. And, Mary, let me say, you've heard me say this, you and Joe, over and over again, but prior planning prevents poor performance.
Exactly.
So you just don't throw something together, even if it's just for one or two other people. You really need to think through, you know, do they have any dietary needs? If they are when I'm allergic to seafood, you don't take them, make reservations at a seafood restaurant. You need to know a little bit about them. And I encourage people with clients to just keep a running file all the time. If you hear them say, mm-hmm. you know, I like this kind of wine, write it down. Or this is my favorite restaurant. Write it down in the file so you have information when you go to entertain, you can pull that and go from that and not make any faux pas.
So let's say I've decided I'm going to have this event at a restaurant. What first of all, who's the best person to talk with there?
Well, I usually like to talk with the manager or the assistant manager, but depending on the restaurant and the event, many of those places, clubs, or restaurants have like an event planner, someone who handles those kinds of events. And I will call the restaurant beforehand, ask for the manager, tell him my situation, and ask if I can have a meeting with them. And, you know, he may say, well, I'm going to pull so my event planner in to sit with us on this if I'm having like 25 or more people.
Okay. And so what are some of the questions I need to ask or specific things I need to request to make sure that I have exactly the event that I want to have, that I have the experience that I want to have?
All right. I don't care if you're entertaining just two other people or 50 people. Number one, you want to ask what room you will be using, okay? If it's only, say, four people and you're sitting in the open restaurant, number one, you want to have them looking at a good view. You know, if it, even if it's just a picture on the wall, or if you're in Florida looking out over the ocean, whatever the situation may be. Also, you do not want to sit near the kitchen, the restroom, or the bar. It will be very noisy trying to talk. And also, if you're in or getting a room, please make sure that it is a room that will be private and the outside noise will not be affecting your evening. For instance, I went to one event and you couldn't even talk to each other because it was not a private room. It was a curtain pulled around. So the band was blasting on the other side and people were talking. You couldn't even talk to each other. And the person that set this up obviously had never been to this restaurant, did not understand the whole evening and the whole situation, and it just was not very successful.
Becky, I'd like to interrupt and talk a little bit about noise levels, since I'm obviously no spring chicken anymore. It should be noted that as you get up there in age, your hearing is not as good as it used to be. So taking people who were, say, over 40 or over 50 to loud restaurants is a very uncomfortable thing to do and very unprofessional. I just recall a story that happened to me, and I'll be very specific about it. This was about 15 years ago. There was a new steakhouse here in town called Fleming's, and the steaks were wonderful. And they had a conference room there, and I talked to the manager, and I made arrangements to have a board dinner in this private room. Well, I should have known better, or the manager should have told me, but when you get into this room, it actually is louder than being in the restaurant because there's no the ceiling is open, or part of it's open, and it was the most miserable board meeting we ever had, and I have never set foot in a Fleming's restaurant since then, and I'm happy to tell the story because the manager should have been clear with me. I guess I should have noticed too, but you need to be very careful. More and more restaurants, particularly high-end restaurants today, seem to be hell-bent on making things as loud as they possibly can. And I find that very disturbing. And for people like me, we simply avoid restaurants like that.
Well,
go ahead, Mary. I was just going to say, I've noticed that here in Nashville, more and more restaurants are very loud. They're all hard surfaces. They're wooden floors. They've got hard surfaces on the walls. There's not a lot of noise abatement. And the other thing is the whole idea of music. In many places, there's music in the background, and I don't hesitate to ask somebody if they can turn that off. But in some cases, they can only turn it off. It's either off or on. They can't turn it off in certain areas. So I find that very disturbing when I'm trying to have a conversation. But I've had this conversation with a number of people that there are very few places that you can go anymore and have a quiet lunch or a quiet dinner and actually talk.
I was at a restaurant a few nights ago and with a friend of mine who happened to know his way around, and he found this one particular part of the restaurant called the Nook, and it was where it was very quiet. The four of us had a wonderful dinner. So I, in my master list of restaurants, I've written down there Nook. And also the name of the gal who is the receptionist there who takes the reservation. So now when I call the restaurant, I talk to Rebecca and I ask to the table in the Nook.
Well, that's great. And also it's important, if you have not been to that restaurant, you need to go have dinner there or lunch there, whatever your menu is going to be in entertaining, because the food may not be as good as you have heard. And you need to visit that restaurant. If you're going to be entertaining, you need to tell the manager you want to meet with the wait staff that's going to be helping you. Also, my peeve is make sure they have black napkins if your guests have them black. And if I have, say, even more than six people, I will tell them ahead, just give everybody a black napkin where it's not an issue of switching them out. But that's important to do. And also, you want to, if it's just, say, you and another client, I encourage you, if it's a four-top table, to sit side by side, not across from each other. You never know who is in the restaurant, and you can have a more private conversation if you're sitting side by side than across from each other. So I encourage you to do that.
That reminds me of another little off-topic subject here, but when there are two couples together, I always make it a point to have the men sit across from each other and the women sit across from each other, because when you put two wives together, you wind up with two conversations going on, the guy's talking and the girl's talking, and that really is sort of beyond what you want to have happen. So,
right.
Little tip there, guys.
That's right. I couldn't agree with you more. Talk to us a little bit about good service and how I can ensure really good service. I know you said, you know, go to the restaurant, make sure the food is good, make sure the environment is the environment that you want, and if possible, sit at the table that you'd like to sit at. But what about the service? How can I make sure I don't get, you know, the surly waiter or waitress that night? I want to make sure I get somebody that's going to take care of me.
Exactly, and that's why you want to go there and eat before, because you can watch the wait staff. Do they know what they're doing? Have they just been brought in off of the street to fill in? And get to know the wait staff while you're there, and also make it a point of saying, I want your very best wait staff that night. And when you develop a relationship with the wait staff in restaurants, and, I mean, I'll tell them what I want. You know, for instance, if I have someone and I've had this happen, if they are drinking too much, I'm the hostess, but they continue to order drinks, not going through me. I got up one night and went and told the wait staff, do not bring another drink to the table. I don't care if he asks for it. You take the order, but don't bring it. And so the gentleman kept saying, where is the wait staff? I ordered a drink. And I said, you know, they're so busy tonight, they're just having a hard time getting around to everybody. So you won't, and I will tell the wait staff, make eye contact with me. If I want them, I'll nod my head. If I need something, I'm not going to have to raise my hand to get them there. And I tell them, I want you to keep your eyes on me. This is an important client. I want this business, or I need to keep this business. What you do can make a big make or break for me this evening. And I'll add a tip to the bill, but if they've done a good job, I'll slip them extra out the door. And I tell you what, they will fight over who's going to wait on Miss Pitts when she comes in. And they will give me good service. But you need to talk to the wait staff. And, for instance, you are placing the order. They know. Also, give them your guest name. That is so important when your guest walks into the restaurant with you, that they address you and they also address your guest by name. That's that means a lot to people to hear their names.
Go ahead.
Also, if it's, say, there's just four of us or two of us, I like to take care of the bill situation before it's not brought to the table. And when I make relationships and managers get to know me, I don't mind giving them my credit card up front. And I'll tell them to add a certain amount of tip. And sometimes when I'm going out through the door, they'll slip me my bill, or I'll go back the next day and pick up the bill. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of awkward, especially if you're a woman entertaining a man.
Right.
But that just makes it easy, even if you're with, you know, they don't feel like, well, do I need to get this, you know, or am I going to be paying for this or whatever. It just makes it easier to have does not even have to be brought to the table. And I'm a widow and I'm by myself, and a lot of my friends' husbands, well, they'll invite me to go out to eat, and I'll try to get to the restaurant early before they do, and I'll, you know, talk with the, and say to them, you know, I would like to take care of the bill now. And so they'll take my credit card. I've even met one of the wait staff in the restroom to take care of it. And then when the spouse's husband says, you know, okay, we're ready for the bill, they'll just say it's taken care of. And that makes them mad, but they get over it. But that's my way of reciprocating, you know, to them for taking me out.
Right. And it also eliminates the I'm paying, no, I'm paying argument at the table.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, talking about
one other thing, Mary. One other thing, okay. Let me mention. Also, when I go to the restaurant, I will look at what the specials are for that day. I will also ask, you know, what is your house wine? What red wine do you recommend with this? And just kind of talk to them about it. And if anyone is taking you out to eat or you're, you know, take you're the guest or you are the hostess, always kind of look at the menu and the price that's within your budget. And, you know, if surf and turf's in your budget, you go for it. And I would say, you know, Joe, the surf and turf is great here. You might want to try that, and I'd make a couple of other. But if it's not in my budget, I may say to them, you know, the Cordon Bleu's really good here, or I'll mention something different on the menu that's in my budget. I will do the ordering of the wine. The only exception to that is I've got a couple of friends that have wineries, and if I ordered the wine, they would probably think they're drinking Boone's Farm. So I always say to them, you know, would you order the wine? And many times they'll say, okay, I'll get the wine, you get the meal. And that's just how, you know, how we work it whenever I'm taking them out. But it's nice to know here again if you know what kind of wine your guests like and it's within your budget to order that. But you are the host or hostess, and everything is your responsibility, even down to parking. If it's at a restaurant, that parking has to be paid. You might ask the restaurant to, you know, make some kind of arrangement with you with that parking deck. But you take care of the parking all the way down.
Excellent. Well, you hit on the thing that I was going to talk about, and that is the menu items and how I select and sort of send a message quietly that this is my budget. But the wine also, you can, most restaurants have their menus online and often have their wine list online, and you can check before you go, so you have some idea what to do, not to be embarrassed. Did you have
right.
a comment?
Right, and I'm going to go there, and the things that I think I might want to order, or I may suggest to them, I'm going to order it and make sure it really is what I would want it to be,
mm-hmm.
and be familiar
right.
with their menu where I can discuss it.
I remember years ago at another one of our board meetings, one of our board members thought he was a connoisseur of wine and started ordering some pretty expensive wines, and I got the check at the end of the night, and I was a bit aghast by that, and I didn't do anything about it. But from that point forward, I made sure that we looked at the wine list ahead of time and had pre-ordered the wine for the table, a couple of bottles of red and one bottle of white, so we didn't have this issue of so-and-so trying to order a $200 bottle of wine on my tab.
And a lot of times right. they're ordering because because of the price, not because they know the wine. And I know our friend Jim Harmon at the Montego Inn has always said, your favorite wine might be a $20 bottle. It's not necessary. It's a very personal thing, mm-hmm. which makes it difficult to order for somebody else. But there are some general types that I think go with almost everything, and people don't find it offensive. I think
and
that your guests would be very upset if they thought they had blown your budget in some way or have somehow stepped over the line. So I think it's our job, do you not agree, Becky, that we let them know in whatever way we can?
Well, absolutely. And if, you know, you're in a wealth management or a bank, working in a bank or a law firm, and, you know, you're entertaining one of your wealthy customers, well, if you are, you know, ordering real expensive wines, they're looking, hey, that's my shareholders' money right there.
Exactly.
So
you're always sending a message.
You're what?
You're always sending a message one way or another.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. So you want to be sensitive to situations like that.
Right. Well, let me change the topic a little and ask, what considerations do I need to think about before I host an event in my home?
Well, one thing you want to think about, how many people you're going to invite. Will your home hold that number of people without being able to mingle and it not be too crowded? Mm-hmm. Now, depending on the time of the year, if you have a lovely backyard and you can do the backyard and the home, but you need a backup plan in case it rains, but, you know, people can flow in and out both, that's different. But if it's a cocktail party, you don't want it to be too crowded, that people have, you know, trouble getting around. And I have been to situations like that where it's just so crowded. I thought, I am getting out of here. There were just too many people there. Another thing you want to think about if you're entertaining at home, what is the parking lot like around your house? I mean, are there plenty of places on the street for people to park, or what's that situation like? I know during Christmas, I'm always gone during that time, and a couple of my neighbors were having parties, and I called them before I left, and I said, hey, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. Please feel free to use my driveway, you know, come on up to the back, whatever, for your parking, because our street's very narrow and not parking's not real good. So, you know, I made that offer to my neighbors, but I think it's good to let your neighbors know that you are entertaining in case they see people coming and going from your house or parking is an issue.
Right.
And if you're entertaining in your home, I encourage you. You can have it catered if you, you know, wish, or you can prepare, but make sure you have plenty of staff serving. Like, for instance, let's say someone's approaching the front door. It's in the winter. They have their coat. Have someone greet them. Have someone take their coat. And I laugh at even the many big homes that I have gone into parties for. They take the coats and they put them on a bed. And, I mean, that's fine, but another thing you might have, if you have one of those clothes racks that's on a rollers, you know, you could have them in a room that's not being used and hang them up there. Then also have someone close by offering them a drink. You want to make sure, if everyone there doesn't know each other, you want to talk to different people that's maybe helping you host this event if you're not by yourself or your spouse, to keep an eye out that just one couple's not standing up here talking to themselves. Maybe they don't know how to network. Maybe they're not comfortable because they don't know someone else. So kind of think about your guest list before they even arrive of people you could introduce each other to and make connections with for them that could be very helpful and that they would enjoy getting to know each other.
Right. All about the hospitality and making sure,
absolutely,
again, taking responsibility for your guests having a good time. Joe?
Well, we're about a half an hour into this topic now, and so if as we're going along here you have some questions, hit *7. We'd be happy to chat about it. We don't have a real big group with us today. Or online, you can enter the question in the question box and hit the word send. So, No topics off limits.
No, it isn't. And what I would like to hear from some of you out there is if you've had great experiences somewhere, especially those of you here in Middle Tennessee, I'd like to know about it because we're always looking for places that are great experience places. Okay. Other than making sure that my guest don't have any particular allergies or any problem with food, are there some menu considerations that are just general considerations that I need to think about?
Well, if you are having it at a restaurant and say it's a dinner, I would suggest that you at least have a meat, a fish, and a chicken to offer to your guest. But you do want to check and make sure if anyone has any dietary needs, or maybe they're a vegetarian, I don't know, but you do want to make sure. And one other thing, let me mention that I ran into this year at a party I went to. This young man is physically challenged, and he walks with crutches in each arm. And it was a cocktail party, and it was kind of awkward for him to try to get his drink, to get Fixie's plate, and all that. So when I saw the situation, I went to him and I said, you know, may I help you? And he said, I would appreciate it. So I said, let's go find a place to sit and let me go fix our plates. So, because I didn't want him to feel like I was just doing it for him. So I went and got his drink and then went and fixed his both plates, and I sat down and visited with him for a while. But also at this house, it had a lot of stairs coming up to the front door. And I didn't see him come in, but he came up all those stairs. And when he got ready to leave, I said, would you like to slip out the back? And he said, oh, that would be great, because he said, I parked back there. So, you know, it was only one step down for him, and that was very helpful. And the host came up to me afterwards, and she said, I cannot thank you enough. She said, I was so embarrassed when I realized I had thought about his situation. And so it was helpful for him, but maybe some people don't want you to help them. So, you know, you can just politely say, you know, I'm going to get a drink. May I get something for you, or something like that.
Right. The other one that I'm very aware of, because I'm married to a lefty, is making sure that people have places to sit where they can maneuver either their left hand or their right hand. Or I have a friend who recently had shoulder surgery, and we were trying to be very mindful of her needs when we would go out to eat, so that she had plenty of room.
Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of people are very sensitive. I'm left-handed, but I just, you know, I'm just used to it, so it doesn't matter. But that is something to be sensitive to, with some people that are left-handed or right-handed. And, you know, sometimes we kind of stick our elbows out too far, and we can be hitting each other. So
right.
I think that's very important, a good thing to be sensitive to.
Another related topic is, particularly when you're asking for a quiet spot in a restaurant, you often get put in a corner. And when you're in a four-top table in a corner, somebody's got to be looking into the corner. And if you're the host, the polite thing to do is for you to take the chair looking into the corner.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You always want your guests to have the best view.
Exactly. What other etiquette tips can you think of? I mean, I know I think of myself as the guest and using my very best manners, but what other things should I think of as the hostess?
Well, depending how many people you're having, like if it's a Christmas party or, you know, a cocktail party, something like that, and everyone doesn't know each other, you might want to have name badges. Because that's very helpful. And, of course, you wear them high up on your right shoulder.
And the name badges should be in large enough font so that people can read the name badge from a distance.
Yes, 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 yes. So one thing, Mary, if you're ever entertaining at a sporting event or something like that, and you have you're taking a client or clients, with my husband, we would hire a town car to pick us all up and take us and drop our guests back off. You know, the town car would take us to the stadium, drop us off, and pick us back up afterwards. But especially if people are drinking, you want to be very sensitive to that. And we had one customer one night that just drank too much, and it was just well uncomfortable. And Andy took me home and then took him home. But it just eliminates, you know, being concerned, especially if it is a company, a corporation. You never want one of your clients to be in an accident from drinking too much when they've been out with you on company business. So we just found that to be, you know, it wasn't that expensive and just really nice thing to do.
It's a great idea, and especially a sporting event that lasts over several hours, you could put away a fair amount of alcohol in that time.
I wouldn't know, Mary, but.
Did you have a disclaimer?
I was just thinking about it. Another sort of tip to pass along to you. When I would go to industry social events where I'd be meeting people from other companies, particularly the leaders of other retail companies, Dorothy and I would talk ahead of time about who was going to be there and who we wanted to meet particularly or who we wanted to sit next to, and we'd have a little game plan. We wouldn't always be able to follow our game plan, but, you know, we wanted to get to know this person or that person, and we would sometimes divide up and sometimes stay together, but we try to have a clear plan about what we wanted to learn in a social environment as opposed to just showing up and eating. And we would wind up making some very good acquaintances and not always, you know, it's human nature is, oh, well, there's my friend, so I'm going to go sit next to them. But that really is counterproductive in a business environment. You want to meet as many different people as you can so that you broaden your horizons and broaden your networks.
And Joe, I'm sure I've told you and Mary this story before, but my husband used to work in the bond department, and when we would travel and go to these conferences, he would get, of course, a list of the people that were going to be there, and he would go through and mark who was a client of his and who wasn't, or people he would like for us to meet. Well, he was usually in meetings all day, so I would make it a point to try to find the wife during that event and maybe have lunch or get to know the wife or something like that. And I would set up a dinner for the four of us. And because if the wife and I became friends, you know, the husbands didn't have too much choice. They had to do business together. So we got a lot of new clients like that that became longtime friends that I still visit today. But and throughout the year afterwards, we would stay in touch with them. And if we were going to be in their town, we would call and say, you know, we're going to be coming that way. Can we take you out to dinner or something like that? Or if you ever get to Charlotte, we'd invite them to, you know, let us take them out. So things like that, really, the spouses can be so, how well you know, Joe, so important in working a room and getting business for you. And so they really need to understand all of this. And a lot of them do, but a lot of them, if they don't understand your business, it's very hard for them. I had worked in the bond department, so I knew, you know, the market, and I knew how to talk with clients. So when, you know, Andy would have a client in town, he'd always want me to go with him because I could carry on a conversation with them. But make sure your spouses understand your business and what you do. They don't have to know all the little details, but that helps them when you're entertaining to not be bored during a conversation or what's going on if you are talking business.
Right. Becky, we're almost to the place where we're going to open for questions, but I do want to end with this question. What is the worst disaster that you have been involved in terms of a social event? And it could have been your event or somebody else's, but.
Well, I've had several. One, for instance, it was my boss's birthday, and I had coordinated the birthday luncheon at a restaurant he loved. And so all of our team went to the restaurant. We got there, and I had made the reservations and everything. We got there, they just had a fire. So I was kind of backpedaling and thought to myself over and over, what could I have done? But I could have called the restaurant before we left and just to confirm the reservations, and I probably would have been told, don't come, we're having a fire. But that was one real embarrassing situation for me. Another one was my husband loved to entertain in our home, and he was having an out-of-town client and his spouse come have dinner with us, and he had everything laid out, the hors d'oeuvres, everything what he wanted me to fix, which I did. And the pecan pie with ice cream he wanted for dessert. So I had everything was rolling great, and I went in the kitchen to cut into the pecan pie, and it was nothing but syrup. I can't tell you how many pecan pies I had baked beforehand, and I could not believe it. But fortunately, at that point in time, I made crepes, and I had crepes in the freezer. So I ran to the freezer, put the crepes in the microwave, put the ice cream in the crepes, and put the syrup over it. And he was disappointed it wasn't pecan pie, but I told him you better not mention it. Another one was I was at a wedding and had bought a very expensive dress, and the people across from me knocked their champagne over. Everybody sat paralyzed waiting to see what I was going to do. And I grabbed my napkin and put it down because all I could think about, I haven't paid for this dress and it's going to be ruined, put my napkin down, and everybody else threw theirs down. And I raised my hand and got the wait staff, and they came and cleaned it up. And, you know, those are things. That's something that just can, it's just an accident that can happen.
Right.
But you know, if you know to do that, it's not a big ordeal.
Right. Anything to add, Joe?
Just, if you were talking about disasters. I was thinking back to a story. We had a store manager's meeting where we had an event planner who was supposed to take care of everything, and somehow the hotel, we had like 200 store managers for dinner, and a hotel prepared enough food for 100 store managers, and they just ran out of food. I don't even remember how we solved that problem, but it was the last time we went to that hotel.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
So, questions. We are open for questions or comments, experiences you've had, things that you wish hadn't happened, things that you're glad happened. Great places to go, anything, just give us a call for *7 to ask a question or online, ask the question in the box and then hit send.
We have two chocolate chip cookies sitting here on the table. Whoever has put the first question gets two chocolate chip cookies.
Well, if you don't have any questions and you think of something later, just email me or text me, call me, whatever, and I'll be happy to discuss it with you. One of the gentlemen that was in our the executive training probably 4 years ago emailed me not too long ago, and he said, tell me again, why do I get a black napkin? He had forgotten that. So if you think of anything, or if you're going to entertain in your home, call me. I had this one guy out there that he had got a big promotion. He was entertaining his team for Christmas. He called me. He said, Becky, my wife is going to bankrupt me. She thinks all of our china, silver, crystal, everything has to match, and we cannot afford to do that. What do we do? And I said, well, I'm sure you have Aunt Jane or Aunt Sarah's up in the attic. Go get it. Pull it down. It dissolves. It does not have to match.
That's
so
great.
So he said, would you call her and tell her that, please? And I said, you just tell her to call me. So she did, and we got all of that squared away.
We do have a question. How do you politely get out of an event? And I'm not sure if they're talking about not to
if
go
you
at all.
Want to
or
go.
If you get there, how do I leave politely?
Okay. Well, usually there's a time down there of, you know, how long an event should last, and especially if it's in your home, the host and hostess really appreciate your leaving on time and not spending the night. But if you you know, are wrapping up and you're ready to go, even if people are still there, just go to the host and hostess, tell them it's been a lovely evening, that you have enjoyed it, but that you have somewhere you need to go or be or whatever. I mean, don't lie about it, but just, you know, tell them you've enjoyed it and that you all need to leave. And just very politely tell them you need to go.
And then the rest
of
that.
If you get an invite, if you get an invite and you just do not want to go, you know, just respond back. I just did this for some friends. Someone had called. I was at their home and called and asked if they're coming to an event, and I said, no, they have another engagement. And I told them they're moving, and I knew that's why they couldn't come. And I said, I don't care if you're packing boxes that night. You better stay home and do something, because that's what I told. But, you know, if it's not convenient for you to go to that event, just tell them you're so sorry you're going to not be able to attend and thank them for inviting you.
Right. And even if they don't ask for an RSVP, if you're not going to be able to attend, you really need to do that anyway.
Yes, you should. If you are not good at that, we'll put you in charge of a wedding, and you'll find out what it's all about when people don't RSVP. Like,
there you go. You're exactly right.
Becky, thank you very much for being here.
No other questions on the line. Becky, thank you very much for participating with us today. We're all appreciative of your continual counseling on these topics that can become so important, particularly if we don't get them right. Everybody else on the line, our next call will be February 20th. We'll let you know the topic a little bit later on. And by the way, if we've been doing this now for 2.5 years and we've covered 22 dozen or more topics. If there are topics that you would like us to either new topics we haven't covered or topics you'd like us to replete, just feel free to let us know. We're always looking for suggestions. Additionally, our next executive class will be starting in about 3 weeks, and we still have a few slots available. So if any of you have any interest in that class, please let us know. Go to the website or give us a call or give us an email. We look forward to participation. So, again, Becky, thank you very much, and everybody on the call, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to chatting with you again next month on February 20th.
Right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Goodbye.